owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Hey, did you hear the one about the homeless guy who built a $100 million company? Well, you're about to. We've had the pleasure of having many successful veteran entrepreneurs on American Warrior Radio. Their stories are each unique, but you also see a lot of parallels. One of the most common is the application of the ethos and lessons learned in the military to their business models and practices. The story you're going to hear today is one filled with love and heartbreak, a lot of lows and some highs, some mistakes, a bit of luck, but mostly a story about never giving up. I take a lot of lessons from speaking to these veteranpreneurs, and in cases, some cases the lessons are obvious and some not so much. With all due deference to our guest today, the story you're about to hear is one of the most donkey butt backward stories of entrepreneurial success I've ever encountered. It's a story about chasing your dreams no matter the cost, and it has a happy ending. I love it. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, Jason McCarthy, co-founder and CEO of GORUCK.
Thanks for having me. I had quite an introduction like that.
Well, it is radio. I had to, you know, edit it for family purposes, Jason. And I got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this for, I don't know, we've been scheduled for, what, a month or so. And your team was kind enough to send me, unsolicited, a copy of your book. I kind of scratched my head when I tore open the envelope and greeted with the title, How Not to Start a Backpack Company. Now, you Special Forces guys may regularly start with a negative and build something out of it, but there's plenty of things I know. Don't know, I know how not to do. Some would even say I don't know how to do a radio show. But when I cracked the cover, what I found was very different, Jason. And tell us, what was the motivation for putting that between covers?
Yeah, so, I mean, that story was kind of born of my reaction to COVID, in part, which became kind of a company. Chaos is opportunity, where I come from and how I live. And so it was just something where, you know, my schedule was completely wacky, my completely, like, split schedules. Like, I would wake up super early in the morning and go to work, and then I'd be back after lunch, and then she'd go to work, and then she'd come home after dinner, and, you know, we'd wake up and do it all over again for a period of time there. And it was just something where there was a little bit of forced reflection, and there was a little bit of kind of where are we, where are we going in my head. And I had kept this journal in the very early days of GORUCK before I even knew that I really wanted to do GORUCK. And so that kind of became the backbone of it. And then I added some color and some perspective on the front and the back end, so it wasn't just a sliver in time. But part of it was, you know, we've been fortunate. We're growing nicely. You know, outside is in. Fitness is great. You know, more people are more into this idea of going outside with each other and working out. And I just wanted to kind of remember those early days for what they were, not for how they'll be glamorized at some point in the future by both people who will work at GORUCK and, you know, someday my kids and people that are privy or that know the GORUCK story. So it was kind of like just all the stars sort of aligned and just kind of did it.
Well, and, you know, the thing I liked about it, really, and it is, I tell you, it's an odd piece of prose. I read it twice, but it's the story of GORUCK to me, it's a lot of it, it's a love story. Now, there's love stories and there's stories of love, and yours is both. I got to ask, your relationship with Emily, that's like something out of a Hollywood script factory. You're a Green Beret, she's a CIA case officer. How does that even work? Or I guess it didn't. For a little while.
Yeah, it didn't for a little while. You know, it's one of those things where it was also a special time after 9/11. And by that I mean, you know, the nation was united around so much, and ultimately it was also a great reminder, and it was a great perspective on who we are as Americans and why we're willing to fight for the things that we're willing to fight for. And so you had a lot of people come out of their lives in America and say, I want to be a part of what we're doing as a country. And so, you know, Emily happened to apply to the CIA. I applied around and then joined the military. And it's just you had people that you just had really good people. I mean, we were but a couple of a really large number of people that were doing it. And so it was a real honor to sort of join those communities.
Now, I'm not one of those guys, Jason, who skips immediately to the back of the book to see how it ends. But I will say that from my perspective, I give a lot of credit for the success of Goruk to the third character in this love story, Java. He was your rock, and it's interesting. The one thing that at least kept a thin thread of connection between you and Emily.
Yeah, I mean, my advice to folks that are getting out of the military or that are transitioning or you know, basically anybody, for that matter, if you're going from one thing to another is, you know, for me, it was get a dog, right? Number two, use the post 9/11 GI Bill. So go back to school, learn a new trade, recommit yourself to something new to reinvent yourself. And the third is work really, really hard. And if you do those things, that was kind of how I plowed through my transition. But Java was absolutely my rock. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of wisdom in our elders. And there was an elder of mine who a while back said, hey, you know, at the end of your days, you're going to remember one dog. Mm-hmm. And mine is certainly Java. I mean, going from just transitioning out of the military to having, you know, feeling like I'm king of the world, and then nearly all of that being swept out from underneath me, and then there I am with it's just me and Java. But it was, you know, it was meant to work out like that. And the beauty of it was, just, you know, it's the simple stuff, right? I mean, he needed to go out. He wanted exercise, right? He wouldn't let me just kind of be by myself. So it's one of those things where we need to be a part of something. Community, whatever, it starts with two people, and if it's a man and his dog, that's where it has to start, and that's certainly where it started for me.
I think that was the title of a movie, as a matter of fact. Or it was A Boy and His Dog, never mind. ladies and gentlemen, from the back of a napkin in West Africa to $100 million in sales, we're going to get more into the Goruk story when we come back. Listen, there's never been a more important time to acknowledge the role of one of our nation's greatest military assets, the Army Green Berets. Since 2009, the Green Beret Foundation has invested over $16 million and assisted more than 15,000 Special Forces families with everything from casualty and long-term health support, programs for Gold Star families, and transition support to civilian life. The Green Beret Foundation has received the highest rating from both Charity Navigator and GuideStar. Learn more about how you can help or even become an ambassador. Visit greenberetfoundation.org. That's greenberetfoundation.org. Stick around. We'll be back with more with Jason McCartney. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Jason McCarthy. He's the co-founder and CEO of Goruk. You can learn more, visit goruck.com. Jason, you joined because of the 9/11 attacks. You served through 2008. As you mentioned, Emily was then also in West Africa, and you put together a go bag, I guess, for lack of a better term, for her. Is that what led to that Baghdad to New York, back of the napkin moment for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was in West Africa on vacation after my deployment to Iraq, and I just kind of brought that mindset with me. So, you know, she was there, and she's, you know, that job, you're out and about town. That's what you're supposed to be doing, meeting all different kinds of people, and you know, it's not always the safest. So what you try to do, you can never avoid all risk, but you're trying to just mitigate risk, really. So that's what a go bag or a go ruck is or can do for you. So I put together just something for her to drive around with, and then I put one at the house in case, you know, she was at the house. And and needed to hunker down or whatever the case may be. Just at least you know where all your stuff is. And then, you know, it wasn't some aha, and then it was just off to the races. I mean, there were so many kind of speed bumps and massive ditches in the way that I had no idea I was going to be facing after that. But it was actually started there, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do when I went back to West Africa, and Em said, hey, you should do the GoRuck thing. And so it was a place to start, you know, and I was grateful for that at that time.
Well, and it's particularly given that you had an extensive background in manufacturing.
Ah. Yeah, I've been zero.
Well, it's okay. I had another veteran entrepreneur who just, they started two companies right in the midst of COVID. And he's like, yeah, that was a good idea. But so you're, one thing I'm curious about, Jason, because when I talk about the parallels of that I hear from guests on American Warrior Radio, one thing that is very common, and particularly with the tip of the spear folks, is after you separate, there's a real kind of a crash where you just, you feel like you've lost your sense of mission. You feel you've lost your tribe. I'm guessing you were going through that in addition to the divorce and everything else in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can really just speak to my experience, but you know, it's like you go from having this super high speed job and it really is high speed. I mean, it's not kind of posturing or whatever. It's more like you're armed to the teeth going out in gun trucks to go find bad guys, right? And then you're just kind of getting to the point where that is just so far from your reality and you're doing nothing that's cool and you don't know. It's just that becomes your identity because it's great and it's such an honorable way to serve if you can get there, if that's part of your DNA to do. And yeah, it's a full blown identity crisis, plus just the mechanics of waking up, like, what am I going to do today? And that's hard. Those are hard questions to have to look in the mirror and answer.
And that was also, you were like sleeping on a buddy's couch, and I mean, it was tough to even get up and eat. And that sounds like classic depression, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's not an either-or thing either. There's certainly grades of it, right? But on some level, it was absolutely. I mean, I called Buddy up, and it was like, hey, can I come crash on your couch? And I slept on his couch for months. And, you know, it was just kind of, it's amazing what you can kind of adapt to or what you'll tolerate when you don't really have anything else. Like, it just becomes what you're doing. And you have to reconcile that, and that's a really difficult thing to do.
One of the things I enjoyed about your book was you sort of engaged in a, I guess for lack of a better term, a modern day walkabout, driving through all 48 contiguous states, you and Java. You know, encountered some very interesting stories, even when you're out there trying to pitch your backpacks to various retailers, but just some of the folks you cross paths with. And it kind of reminded me of, have you ever heard of Leo Jenkins?
Ring a bell? I have not.
Okay.
What did he do?
He's a ranger medic who just decided to sell everything he owned and just become a traveler. And he wrote a great book called First Train Out of Denver, or maybe a better example for me, Sebastian Junger's documentary, The Last Patrol, where he and his buddies, you know, walked the rail lines. That was sort of coming to the back of my mind as I'm reading your story in the book. But were there one or two major takeaways from that adventure for you?
You know, I mean, if you're lost and you try to go find yourself somewhere else, it doesn't work. That's kind of my major takeaway in all of that. It might buy you some time. It might kind of jumpstart. Like, doing something is better than doing nothing is a positive spin on that, though. Right? I mean, it's better to go forth and just do something. And it almost doesn't even matter what it is. Like, you just got to go. Sitting at home feeling sorry for yourself is the worst thing you can do. So get out and get after it. And, you know, I know it's Sebastian's story well. And, you know, Freedom, his recent book, was about that same Last Patrol, that same walk that he went on as well. And And I can relate to a lot of that. I mean, mine was, it was a struggle. I mean, there's a lot of miles between cities and, you know, there's a lot of thoughts that you think. And that's, it did feel good though. It's kind of like if you exercise, you feel better even if you're already stressed out. It's kind of like that. You're busy, so you're doing something. And I think that's a really productive step forward.
Yeah, Jason, a little bit later in the show, I want to talk about some of your events and the what you offer to folks through Go Ruck. And when it was a particularly brutal documentary that my wife introduced me to. But I see, so, you know, Jason Redmond, the Navy SEAL, he says, get off the X. That's one of his main taglines. In the documentary and some of the materials on their website, I see a lot about just keep moving forward. You know, whether you're walking or swimming or even if you have to crawl, keep moving. Is that part of the Green Beret and part of your training as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's this concept of self-selection, right? Self-selection means that you get this cancer inside of your head, which basically says, you know, everything I'm hearing, they're right. I'm not meeting the standard. I've probably had enough, you know? Like, I want to kind of, I don't want to burden people anymore, or whatever the case may be, all these things that go through people's head. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody is going to come in first place in anything consistently. And if you do, you're running with the wrong folks, right? You know, take your game up a notch. And so you have to weed out the people that will do that. You have to weed out the people that will just kind of quit on themselves. And the Special Forces Qualification Course, much like traveling abroad to try to find yourself, it is not a place to find yourself. You will find out what you're made of, and you will limp to the finish one way or another, and then you'll be rewarded with both greater confidence and greater responsibility with what you do for the rest of your life. And so it's one of those things where if you don't go or you don't take on the big challenges in life, you never know what the outcome's going to be. And so fearing failure is, if that's paralysis, then get over it. You know, I failed so many times in the Q course. I failed so many times in the early days of Go Ruck. You know, I fail all the time in days of Go Ruck now. And it's like, you just have to keep going. I mean, failure is central to the human experience. And it's all about what you'll do when you fail, because that will dramatically impact not only your path, but the path of those around you.
Jason, I kind of teased you about having an extensive manufacturing background when you decided to jump in with this thing with both feet, which was not, couldn't be any further from the truth. And, you know, for most of us, the uninitiated out here, we think it's a backpack. You got some material, some threads, you throw some zippers on it, nice little place for a patch, but it's not that easy. And I know your first shipment, when you finally received them, you started doing some simple tests on it and they failed. You know, not so good, but now your first, I don't know if you call it your debut, but your original backpack, the GR1, you got 1,800 reviews, average 4.9 out of 5 stars. That's pretty darn good. That's Green Beret standard kind of stuff.
Yeah, thanks. We did pretty well on that one.
How many permutations or models or adjustments did you have to go through before Jason and Emily said, no, we got it right, that's the one we're going to go with?
I mean, it's really messy. So to back up very, very briefly, because I don't want to go down the manufacturing rabbit hole too far, but there's basically two ways to do it. Number one, you build it from the ground up, which is how we did it, right? It means you basically start from scratch. Yeah, you're inspired by existing bags or rucks that are out there, but you make the hard call on fabrics and on zippers and on how big it's going to be and all those kinds of things. The other way is, slap your logo on something that's pre-existing. You can do that. I can have that done tomorrow, right? I mean, anybody can start a brand that does that. It's just everything out there defaults to cheap. Everybody thinks that everybody wants cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. The factories are kind of hardwired like that by and large. And so you really have to, it takes a force of nature to get something that is extremely high quality with great consistency. We're not the only people doing it, but we certainly do, you know, life or death is how we view our commitment to quality standards. So when they first came out, it was, you know, I'm just checking all of the stuff, and maybe it's your stitches pop, and that's not good, right? I didn't know anything really about manufacturing. I still don't know how to do it from the inside. I'm not a sewer, but I know how to make things break really well. So if I can make it break fast, someone else is going to make it break slow, and that's not okay either. And so, it was just, you know, it's those kinds of moments when something's not quite right and you have to make the decision, and it's like, well, is it good enough or isn't it? And you'll be faced with those kinds of decisions all of the time. And in this case, it was just, the decision was basically made for me because it was such a poor, it was so bad that, like, these are all fail. So we just kicked them all back.
And there's learning a lesson from failure there again. Absolutely. Well, that's why I think it's so great about your story. And I meant no disrespect saying you went from homeless to 100 million in sales, but that's kind of the reason.
No, I got it.
It's not just version. So, ladies and gentlemen, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Jason McCarthy, the co-founder and CEO of GoRuck. You can learn more at goruck.com. Jason's been quoted as saying, "It's an accident we're here. We started out with some gear nobody wanted to buy." You'll learn more about an interesting pivot that's taken him to that 100 million in sales. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Jason McCarthy. Jason is the co-founder and CEO of GoRuck. Their website is goruck.com, goruck.com. A lot of very fascinating stuff there, Jason, we'll get into. But I one of the things I love about when I, from a civilian perspective, is I interview veteran entrepreneurs, is again how this, some of the ethos or your training or your experiences translate into the entrepreneurial world. And in your case, if I may, you know, Green Berets, you plunk them down anywhere, they adapt, they evolve, they take advantage of whatever the situation allows them to. In your case, that evolution from equipment to activity. And to me, one of the coolest parts of your story is what began as a field test for your gear and completely transformed you from a gear company to a people first brand. Why don't you tell us how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, the benefit of being an entrepreneur is that you have a really wide left and right limits. You know, you can basically do anything. And so that's where Green Berets and that sort of way, that's where we thrive, you know? And so I had spent 2.5 years trying to figure out how to get some rucks built, and I did, right? And there was a stack of them, and the first ones failed, but we fixed that pretty quickly. I had a guy that I served with going to the factory in Colorado to check every single one and do all that stuff. So we kind of solved that. And I was like, all right, man, the world's going to love us now because these are great. And nobody cared. Like, we launched a website, we could ship them, and that's great and stuff, but nobody did because nobody knew how to find us. Like, oops, I forgot about marketing, you know? And so I was like, man, I got to do something. You know, this summer of 2010 had just kind of failed. Driving around to 48 states with my dog, nobody bought any rucks, you name it, right? So I'm like, all right, well, I know how to train people, physical fitness, you know, special forces training, all that stuff. And I just had this idea for what became the GoRuck Challenge, where it would take the teamwork and the leadership and the communication from special forces training, but not feel like a boot camp so much, you know? So yeah, you'll do some push-ups, and yeah, you'll get a little bit dirty, and yeah, you'll ruck everywhere, because rucking is the foundation of special forces training. And it would be a team event. We'd be together the whole time. And I thought that would be a great way to take pictures of the gear in use. Kind of just, you know, the idea of hiring, you know, models to show up in front of a screen to what, wear our rucks. That didn't sound very interesting to me. But getting people and rucking all over cities, all over the country, that sounded pretty interesting to me and something worth doing. So that's kind of what it did, and what I did not expect was the impact that it would have on people. You know, the people who showed up that they were missing this in their lives too, and I was missing it in my life. So this bridge between the military and the civilian world that I was trying to walk over, you know. All, now I have these people who are walking over it with me, and we're just in it together. And that was really satisfying and very rewarding to be able to give back some of the lessons that I've learned as a Special Forces soldier.
So, you know, a key Green Beret tactic, community building, you know, winning hearts and minds, if you will, textbook Green Beret methodology, was that, and that's, I get the sense is that when that took off, Jason, that's what really helped you. I mean, that really took the company to the next level. Was that fortuitous? Just not one of those lucky breaks for you, or planned? It sounds like it was luck.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those, it's a little bit of a shade of both. There's always luck involved in anything. I mean, there's no such thing as a self-made man either, right? I mean, I learned the lessons that I learned because of the guys that taught me in my community. And it's not like I woke up one day and I was just this awesome Green Beret. That's just not how it works. Right. And so, you know, because I had done that, it's a series of connecting dots, right? I mean, you go, you know, if you move to Tucson or you move to New York City, you'll probably be a similar person wherever you go. But, you know, the opportunities in life open up differently. Your thought process might be a little bit different, or whatever other cities you want to compare to each other. And so the way of thinking that I had in my head was just, this is all I knew. That was my professional career, was serving in the Army at that point. And so, you know, I just leaned on that really hard because I really had faith in those lessons. And, you know, faith can be hard to come by sometimes when things aren't going your way. So, you know, that seemed like a great place to trust that could work. And you know, it did. So was it a ton of luck? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also like this idea of just not quitting, not sort of saying, all right, well, I guess, you know, this, I built some good stuff and we got it out, but, you know, I guess nobody likes it. You know, I mean, that could have been very easily the narrative, and it wasn't. And this was the next thing. And maybe if it wouldn't have been this, maybe it would have been something else, or maybe I'd still be searching for that. Or maybe I would have gone, I mean, I don't want to get all existential and all that stuff too much. It's just like, who knows, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a ton of luck, and yet if you keep hustling, eventually you get lucky.
Well, and Jason, to me, one of the keys here, the one of the signatures of a successful entrepreneur is being able to recognize an opportunity, even if that calls for a pivot. And in your case, it wasn't so much of a pivot; it was just sort of an add-on. But when you saw that, I mean, you adapted and you adjusted and you made that a huge. I mean, we're talking what, 7,000 events, 150,000 people later. That's pretty darn good, brother.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I really just followed my heart on that one. I mean, I just didn't know how to build a manufacturing company with, you know, a marketing department and running Facebook ads. That just wasn't interesting to me at all. But what was interesting was getting on planes like Tyler Durden and Fight Club and going and, like, doing some pipe hitter stuff, right, with rucks on and let's whoop it on a little bit. Like, that reminded me of some of my best experiences with really great people that I served with, and the ability to give back was really, really, really rewarding and fulfilling. And so, you know, I followed my passion and let the business work out as it may from there.
You know, on your website, Jason, literally you talk about building better Americans. Early on in your book, in your bio, you talk about how you were searching for how to rebuild in America, and I assume that meant to rebuild yourself. Was the eventual answer is that now you're teaching Americans how to rebuild themselves, and that kind of checks both those boxes?
Yeah, I mean, so I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I mean, to be a great teammate, you first have to be a great individual, right? And it can be hard when you don't know how you can give back, or who's my team, you know, like, what am I even doing? Or if you find yourself in a downward spiral, it's like, it can be a lot harder, right? At some point you have to focus on yourself. You have to make sure that you're in an okay spot, right? I mean, whether that's counseling or whether that's do a little bit more PT or whether that's call a buddy up or whether that's get a dog, right? And so it's kind of a nuanced answer to your question to say that, yes, ultimately giving back to others is what made the difference for me. And I kind of had to get to a point, and this is where Java and a couple other really dear friends of mine kind of helped build me back up just enough to where I could get to that. It's not like at absolute rock bottom, I just, you know, was saying, man, I got to go to the soup kitchen now. I just wasn't in that headspace, right? So I got myself back up just enough. And then it was, okay, now I see, now I can recognize myself again. And that made it really easy to want to pour my heart and my passion down that path.
What, so $100 million in sales, Jason, can you give me a sense or a guesstimate of what percentage of that is gear and what percentage of that is, you know, event income or people signing up for memberships, that kind of stuff? Is it 50-50, 70-30?
That's a good question. It's certainly changed dramatically over the years. We, early on, the way the business was built was people would sign up today for future events. And I would use that money to go, like, someone's will puke in their mouth when they hear this, right? But I would use that money to go buy future, you know, put down payments on gear, right? So I'm just commingling funds just left and right all over the place. This is how House of Cards are built, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of, it's like you use money today and it's something that you haven't done yet, and you buy something that you don't have yet, and you hope it works out in the end. And so we played that game for years, and eventually the brand building through the events became significant, and it led to greater and greater gear sales. And then that led to footwear division and apparel division and all of that stuff underneath the GoRuck brand. So I would say historically, and we're on pace to do about 30 this year. And this year, it's the last couple of years, it's been very low on the event side. Like this year, it's like 5% of our revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But historically, if I average it out, it's probably 20% now. Whereas early on, it was 50% or more.
Okay. I want to talk more about rucking when we come back, Jason. You talked about giving back, and GoRuck is doing a lot of that. So stand fast. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, remember what it was like when you were a kid waiting for Santa to arrive? That's the way I felt in anticipation of our new American Warrior Radio Challenge coins from Boss Custom Coins. They arrived, and I'm overjoyed. They're stunning. They've got just the right amount of heft, and the American Warrior Radio logo really pops on the copper base. The process was easy. I chose the basic parameters from multiple options at BossCoins.com. Their artists helped me finalize the design, and I had them in my pocket only 2 weeks later. If you're thinking about a challenge coin or need to reorder your current one, please consider my friends at BossCoins.com. I'll even sweeten the deal. Send me an email, bbg@AmericanWarriorRadio.com, and I will personally introduce you to one of the bosses at Boss Coins who will give you a special American Warrior Radio listener discount. I love our new coins. You'll love your Boss Coins, too. Get started at BossCoins.com, and don't forget to shoot me an email, bbg@AmericanWarriorRadio.com, to get your special discount. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bula Garcia. We're talking with Jason McCarthy. He is the co-founder and CEO of the very successful veteran-owned company, GoRuck. You can find out more at GoRuck.com. Jason, I said earlier that I was introduced to you by my wife, and she challenged me to watch the documentary, The Standard. That was brutal, and I think that's part of your GoRuck selection. You've got lots of options and events for people to participate in. That might be one of the more serious ones. But what's interesting to me, Jason, is when you look at the videos or you see images of people conducting these rucks, there's a lot of smiles that are going around. And the concept of team and support seems, I mean, just it glows at one through watching that. And is that really when those, does that go back to when those first two Marines took over your first event? and started handing out Budweisers or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Leave it to the Marines, right?
God bless them, right? you know, I just never wanted this to be some sort of boot camp thing, right? Like where you're screaming at people and telling them, you know, do better, and it just doesn't stop. And it's very colorful at times, but it doesn't stop. And so, you know, we run a lot of events, you know, 1,000 a year some years. And we have one event that is very challenging that is the kind of – it's the toughest endurance event on the planet is what it is. I mean, you have 45 to 60 pounds on your back the entire time. You know, you've got all these special forces guys trying to make you quit. It's 48 hours. You'll do 100 miles. You won't sleep. You'll barely eat. You're going to do PT the entire time. I mean, it takes 21 days of special forces assessment and selection and crams it into 48 hours. And that's the one that kind of gets people's attention. And then it's like, hey, there's a lot of other ways to be mentally tough and physically tough and all those things. And it shouldn't start there, but we need these aspirational things. And so, you know, yeah, we have a lot of events. They scale up from 5Ks all the way to 48-hour GORUCK selection. But ultimately, you know, the way of life I believe in is that people need to be more active together, and outside is better than inside. So, you know, there's so many problems. There's so many problems this day with, you know, people arguing online and doing all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, these are choices that we're making as people. And we also can make choices to be healthier, to go outside, to put a little weight on your back and go for a walk. Call it 20 pounds, not 60 or 100 or whatever. And in doing so, it's really good for us. There's millions of ways, and everybody knows this, right? Hey, go be more active, be healthier, that's better. And it brings us together with other people when we do it with other people. So we do put on a lot of events that are led by current and former Special Forces guys. But the way that you can participate is start in your own neighborhood with 20 pounds on your back. If you haven't done it in a while, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm not talking about for all you veterans out there that are like, man, Ruckin sucks. Like, I'm not talking about 60 pounds with, you know, mortar tubes and all the ammo the cadre gave you or all the ammo you brought yourself in combat. And then, you know, you have to dig fighting positions and you don't get any sleep. I'm talking about, man, go out there for an hour or two. Like, get some vitamin D sunshine.
Yeah.
You know, sweat a little bit. Breathe some fresh air. Breathe deeply. Sleep better because you're exhausted. Bring a friend and talk.
And, you know,
it's a really therapeutic thing to do.
And I want to encourage, you know, I checked your website, goruck.com. There's clubs that have been formed. Our chapters all across the country. We've got them in our other affiliate markets, Colorado Springs, Phoenix, Sacramento, but not in Tucson. So for my Tucson listeners, I'm going to challenge you to go to goruck.com and maybe talk to Jason or Emily or someone there about setting up a club. Jason, I don't want to end this without talking about what, you know, I mentioned that you guys give back quite a bit. Talk a little bit about your 1% for those who serve, and especially given the timing, the 9/11 never forgotten collection.
Yeah, so, I mean, those who much is given, much is expected. That was at the very top of the first counseling statement I got when I showed up at group. So I'm a freshly minted Green Beret, and they're talking about how I have more to give back. And I think that that's the correct mindset that we can all have. And so, you know, I mean, we're building a great business. We're having fun doing it. We're following our passion, and we're around people that we enjoy being around, and we love the people in our community, and we love the Ruck clubs who are in our community. And so we just wanted to kind of we supported a lot of nonprofits over the years. I mean, I'm on the board of the Green Beret Foundation. I heard one of the ads running on your program, which was very cool. Thanks for running that. You know, and you know, done a lot of work with Travis Manny Foundation and Team Red, White, and Blue and lots of places. But I wanted to formalize it because systems endure and one-offs have a way of not enduring. And so the commitment that we made was that we would donate 1% of our top line of revenue to various nonprofits in support of those who served. And not just the military, because God bless America. America treats our veterans and our servicemen and women extremely well. I mean, there is just a it's a little bit of, maybe there's a little bit of guilt after what happened with Vietnam. And part of it is we just kind of learned our lesson that way. You know, that was not okay. And America corrected this. We did this as a people. And I think that's a great thing. And I don't think that we give enough love to firemen and policemen and frontline workers and, you know, all LEOs, paramedics and stuff like that. I mean, these people are doing God's work, and we've seen that, especially in the last yeah. year and a half, we've seen that more than ever. And so it also encompasses a bunch of those kinds of nonprofits, and we're encouraging other companies to join us. I mean, it doesn't have to be just us. So any company that wants to can send us a note, and you can commit to donating 1% of your top line revenue for those who serve.
And I love, Jason, I love that concept of teamwork and what you're doing to advance that out into our communities there. We're running out of time. We've got just about 20 seconds left. Folks, there's also a great podcast there. You can find it at goruck.com. I had the joy of being invited to be on the Right on Optics podcast, another previous guest, and it was very enlightening. So visit their podcast there at GoRuck. Jason, closing thoughts.
Yeah, just thanks. I mean, there's a lot of, thanks for having me on, and there's a lot of, you know, the world's a chaotic place, from Afghanistan to COVID to all these things, and I think that in amidst all that chaos, let's control what we can control, and we need to take care of ourselves. We need to be healthier. We need to look after the people that are around us, not online, like in the real world, and the more that we do that, the stronger our communities will be and our families will be. And that's what America, that's the backbone of America. So get out and do more of that.
Thank you so much, Jason. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, all policies and procedures will remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.